So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
Just had a little visitor here in the radio studio. My baby girl snuck up to my radio studio right as we were getting ready to start. She goes to bed right about now, so my husband's running down to put her to sleep in a few minutes here. You're listening to Trending with Timory. It's so good to be with you. We're just a little ways into the new year, and so many of us, whether you're pushing a New Year's resolution, New Year, New You, whatever you might be pushing, it's our weekly happy hour here on Trending. And so renewing, growing, being a better person, better Catholic is something that we always talk about here on Trending, which is why I hope you'll join us regularly for our weekly, almost just said holy hour, I meant happy hour, just figuring out where we're at today. Joining me today is Sister Tina Alfieri, and she's a recovery coach and addiction specialist. She's also a hermited nun as well as a spiritual director, and we're going to unpack a number of things that will help you to be happier, everything from gratitude to reading sacred scripture to also praying that prayer you've probably heard before but maybe haven't gotten into the rhythm of praying, and that is the Serenity Prayer. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the recent passing, shocking passing, of Bob Saget. That is the comedian actor from Full House, also from America's Funniest Home Videos. The news broke yesterday and today that he passed away. He died. The cause is unknown as of right now. It'll take some time to figure out what exactly happened, but he was found in his hotel room. And so the family released a statement, and we're waiting for the results of an autopsy report, which some sources are saying will take up to 9 to 10 weeks. So I'll fill you in a little bit more on that story. But in light of some of the work he did as a comedian, some of the shows from Full House to America's Funniest Home Videos, I'd like to hear from you. What did you love about Bob Saget? You can share now on Instagram or give me a call. The number is 1-888-914-9149. Lord, may his soul rest in peace. Also, do you wait for other people to make you happy? This is a very important question. Do you wait for other people to make you happy? Okay, I hope you're shaking your head no, but we're going to talk about that and evaluate it, because perhaps we don't realize how our dependence on other people doing things or not doing things actually does impact us throughout our day, weeks, years, and maybe even harbors resentment for a number of years to come. So we'll talk about that more during our weekly happy hour here on Trending. As I mentioned before, Sister Tina Alfieri is joining me. She's a hermited nun, a spiritual director, an addiction and recovery coach, and she's here to help us dive into the topic of how to be happier. Sister Tina, welcome back to Trending.
Thank you, Timory. Thank you for having me here.
I'd like to unpack some of your top recommendations, especially as someone who's worked with people in addiction, in recovery, and as a spiritual director, you know well the human condition. What would you recommend as the top few things that can make us happier human beings?
Well, I think it is important to understand that happiness is an inside job. Happiness comes from within. Happiness comes from our relationship with God. If I like what you were saying earlier, we cannot depend on others to make us happy. If we do, we're going to be in for a very long wait, and we will be often disappointed. Happiness is an inside job. It's up to me, myself, how I view the world. And I really encourage people to understand that happiness is not about your circumstances. It really is about one's relationship to God, one's trust in God, and the level of faith that we have, that regardless of my circumstances, that I can be happy. Now, I want to make sure, you know, some people might say, oh, well, Sister Tina, you sound very Pollyanna-ish. I don't want to come off as sounding as if we deny our human condition or we deny our feelings. We definitely take those feelings of remorse or sadness or grief or pain. We take those to Jesus. We acknowledge them. We don't downplay them. But we do acknowledge that there is a great mystery that God can make these into something good, something for our benefit, or maybe the benefit of another. And we become joyful in knowing that even in my trials and tribulations, that ultimately this is helpful for me or for maybe for other people who I do not even know. So this is how we find happiness, is really basing ourselves and placing ourselves in the center of God and God's will. And that happiness comes from inside us through the Holy Spirit, through us surrendering deeply to God.
This is, I think, a profound reminder for us. When you started by saying happiness is an inside job, happiness is from within, and it requires us living in God, being united to Him. Mm-hmm. I think about how even just that is a mantra, and I'm not a big mantra person, but mm-hmm. maybe in those moments where there's someone in your life where they tend to just get at you, or you become resentful, angry, frustrated, whatever that emotion might be, and it's impacting your bottom line, your day-to-day happiness. Repeating that line that you just said, happiness is an inside job. Happiness is from within. I'm not dependent upon you for my happiness. That's so important for us to overcome the nitpicking that we can create in our lives that justify sometimes just creating this miserable attitude amongst ourselves.
Exactly. And I'm reminded just what you're sharing about the nitpicking. I'm reminded of, I believe it's the little flower, St. Therese of Lisieux, where she would sit in choir when they're praying in the office, and there was an older nun behind her who had false teeth. And this is way back when false teeth were not very well made, and there was always a clicking and clacking, and it would drive St. Therese of Lisieux kind of up the wall. But she would offer it up as a sacrifice. She would acknowledge to God, this is irritating. But through offering it up and acknowledging that, yes, God, this is irritating for me, she learned to submit this to the will of God. And she was gifted then with understanding that this is the gift of prayer for this particular nun, and that St. Therese could turn this annoyance into her offering of prayer as well, that this clicking and clacking of ill-fitting dentures, that I can offer that up, that this can become part of my prayer. And you know, we are human. Things do annoy us. Little habits of others, or the children interrupting our phone call conversations, or people who might be rude or impolite at the grocery store or on the highway, the expressway, the daily commute. You know, we can begin to offer that up. We acknowledge that, yes, there are rude people, and I don't like it when people are rude or hurtful to me, but I can then offer this to God. And I surrender it, you know, God, I pray that this will be for my good. Maybe it helps me grow in the virtue of patience, joy, fortitude, and maybe it helps someone else, this sacrifice I'm making.
I love that example of the clacking teeth, because it may be so simple, but that's something that St. Therese really does teach us. The simplicity of the most obnoxious things in our day-to-day life that she gives us the example of. I think there's another story about how a sister who she didn't like very much would drop and kind of just be careless, and she dropped some trash on the ground. And as much as it pained her to pick it up after the sister who was kind of just being messy, she reached down and would pick it up. You know, she would do little things that would help to try and counter the frustration she had. And essentially, that's behavior modification. This is what we're talking about in this whole grand scheme of things, that we behave in one way, but we want to behave in another. But the question is, what will you replace that with?
Exactly. And behavior modification, but also some cognitive behavioral therapy. We've got to change the way we're thinking about this. You know, if I'm cut off on the highway, on the expressway, merging onto the highways, you know, that person who cut me off, they don't have it out for me. They don't have it in for me either. You know, we can't take these things personally. It's not about me. Maybe they're in a rush. Maybe they're not feeling well themselves. Maybe they just got some bad news. You know, the world doesn't revolve around Sister Tina. It's not always about me. So we have to shift our perspective. And that's part of cognitive behavioral therapy, is changing the way we think about the situation or behaviors, our own behaviors or the behaviors of others.
I will admit I'm terrible with my horn. It's not necessarily out of anger, because I don't honk out of anger, but it's like, hey, stay out of my lane. Honk, honk. Hey, you cut me off. Honk, honk. Oh, thank you for letting me in. Honk, honk. I think I honk way too much. Anyone who's ever on the phone with me will get a piece of that. But it's so funny because I grew up in a small mountain community. And so we honked a little more than usual to communicate, especially gratitude, especially because, you know, when you're on a two-lane mountain road and people need to pull over and aren't, or are pulling over and you're grateful, you use your horn as a thank you or a hey, get out of the way type of or please get out of the way, should I say. So, you know, people, it's not a small town. I've not been in a small town for a long time now, but I've still adopted the horn and some extra communication I've added on with time. That's Sister Tina Alfieri here on Trending with Tim Ray. You're hearing us now on Relevant Radio. We're talking about happiness during our weekly happy hour and how to be happier. And one of the things I'd like to discuss with you, Sister Tina, is we've discussed gratitude and the importance of gratitude, but let's talk a little bit about this serenity prayer. Some people may know it or have heard of it. I have still yet to memorize it, but we can even create our own simple means. I posted on social media. You can find it on my Instagram at Timmerie, T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. And it goes like this: God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Sister Amen. Tina, can you explain why this prayer is so important for our happiness?
I love this prayer. And it's part of a much longer prayer / poem. It's very long indeed, but most people just learn the first part. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. If there are people involved in the 12-step communities, AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, any of the 12-step communities, most people are very familiar with this prayer. It opens and or closes most 12-step meetings. And this is a wonderful, wonderful prayer because it helps us to put things into perspective. Much like the Our Father, you know, from Scripture. Now, the Serenity Prayer is not from Scripture, but it is a prayer / poem that helps us to differentiate what I have control over and what I do not, and the things I can change, the things I cannot change. And then we're asking God for the wisdom to know the difference between the two. Because let me tell you, if I'm trying to change things that I do not have the power to change, I'm setting myself up for a world of hurt, disappointment, and frustration, and anger and resentment. So understanding the difference between the things I can change, the things I have control over, and the things I don't, is asking for wisdom. You know, we're asking for wisdom. We're asking for that wisdom from on high to please help me so I'm not either working against God's will or kicking against the goads and becoming very angry, upset that I keep trying to change things that I'm just not supposed to try to be changing. Now, I'll give you a hint. In the Serenity Prayer, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Wow, that's powerful. That's deep, because I'm basically submitting myself to God's holy will. And I can't change the majority of things in the world. I can do my little part, you know, famines, hunger, disease. I can do my little part, but I can't change the overall. It takes everyone doing their part. And I have to understand I'm powerless over if other people do their part or not.
You know what's interesting on this? I have a little question. Mm-hmm. As you're talking about, you know, accepting the things that we cannot change, do you think, and do you see this as common, that we perhaps mock what we can't change or pretend it doesn't exist in our current culture?
Yes. And I think, you know, when we become jaded and cynical, and myself, trust me, I've been there many a time, being jaded and cynical, sarcastic remarks, sarcasm. Yes, it's demonstrative of usually a high level of humor and or intelligence, but there's also a dig or a twisting of the knife in that kind of humor, that jaded, cynical, sarcastic response. And so we just want to be aware that we want to be a bit more charitable. I love to laugh, just like everyone else. I love to laugh. There's nothing wrong with laughing, as long as it's not at the expense of others or deriding others or derogatory. And so, yes, I think it is important that we learn how to submit ourselves to God's holy will, that we understand that things that happen in life come through ultimately through the hands of God, and that even if things are not going according to what I think is God's plan for me, God can definitely change this into something that's good and beautiful for me. And if not for me, for someone else. Again, I really want to encourage people to not be quite so self-centered and self-absorbed that everything is about me or revolves around me. My sacrifices or the way that things go in the world, if they're not going my way, I can offer that up to help and ask God to help me grow in virtue of patience and fortitude, but also that it would help others, that this is part of some mystery of God's plan, that I'm just a small part of that cog or the piece of that puzzle, and I don't have to understand it. And just because something's not going my way doesn't mean it's not going God's way.
Amen.
We have to really practice some humility around that.
Let's talk about changing things. A part of the Serenity Prayer where it says to have the courage to change the things I can. It's so easy for us to get into a momentum of familiarity, of comfort, and we could even argue laziness. Even though we don't realize it's lazy, we think we're working hard, we're doing all the things we, quote, should be doing. But perhaps there are things that need to be shaken up, that need to change. It might be things such as weight loss and health. It could be something such as exercising. It could be, you know, that there's a real problem going on in a relationship with your spouse or your kid, that, you know, you feel like you're not meeting anyone, you're single, and you need to do something to change things up to meet someone. You know, there's so many things we could go on and on. How do we identify that when we think that we're doing fine?
Well, we all have blinders. We all have blind spots. And I think a very good place to start is in prayer, asking God through the Holy Spirit to reveal these blind spots to us. I think also if we do have a good friend, is to ask our friend and give them, you know, let them know, I'm not going to be mad at you. I'm not going to be upset at you, but I really need your honest friend, godly opinion. Do you think I need to change the way I talk to other people? Am I rude? Am I abrupt? Am I impolite? If you have a spouse or significant other, I encourage you and that significant other, maybe once a month or once every other month, to have a sit down, a conversation, and ask, hey, how am I doing on being this spouse, this gift of God to you? How am I doing with that? What can I do better? Again, this is about having humility and knowing that I'm not a finished product. I'm not done. I'm always needing to improve, and that if I'm not moving forward, then I'm kind of stagnating, and God forbid, I might even be moving backward. So sometimes asking those people closest to us and letting them know, I really want your honest opinion. I'm not going to take your head off afterwards. This calls for the virtue of humility. And also, again, asking the Holy Spirit to help to reveal these things to us. And the Holy Spirit, trust me, He will guide you. He will send someone your way, either through a podcast, a sermon, a homily, a daily meditation, a scripture passage. The Holy Spirit will send someone to you that will speak a word that will convict you, that will, you will go, ooh, I kind of wince. I get that twinge of, that really hit me hard. I think that's something I need to pay attention to. God's speaking to me right now. That's how the Holy Spirit works.
That's how He works in the sound counsel He gives and the wisdom to know the difference in these moments, whether you need to change something, whether you need to remain silent, whether you need to leave things and accept things as they are. That's Sister Tina Alfieri joining us during our weekly happy hour here on Trending with Tim Ray. We're going to come back and I have some questions for you. You may have heard of the recent death of Bob Saget, the actor and comedian from Full House to America's Funniest Home Videos, mysterious death. But I want to hear from you during our weekly happy hour. He could be considered a king of laughter. What did you love about Bob Saget? Also, do you wait for other people to make you happy? We'll be back with Sister Tina Alfieri, and we'll break down how reading sacred scripture can make you happier in life. Thank you to our longtime sponsor, Solidarity HealthShare. Enroll now in Solidarity One, a new program with expanded options to fit any healthcare budget. Solidarity One offers access to prescription drugs and new discounts for seniors. Learn more about this exciting new healthcare at CatholicHealthShare.com.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Great to be with you in the new year. It's our weekly happy hour, and I hope in the new year one of your goals will be to start listening to our weekly happy hour. Send your questions. What bad habits do you want to break? What good habits do you want to build? What's getting in the way of your happiness? I'd love to hear from you. You can always send in a topic for our weekly happy hour. Today we're talking about choosing happiness with Sister Tina Alfieri. She's an addiction recovery coach specializing in, again, addiction. And she also is a spiritual director and a hermit and nun. And so we're talking about so many of the important things that can help in growing from the challenges we have, whether it be building gratitude, praying the Serenity Prayer, but also we're going to dive in just a moment to how reading sacred scripture can build happiness. If you want to see one of the places where she does incredible work, specifically working with women who have faced betrayal in their relationships, check out bloomforcatholicwomen.com. That's bloomforcatholicwomen.com. We'll include a link in the podcast notes for today's show. Couple questions during our happiness hour. You may have heard the very sad news that actor, comedian Bob Saget from Full House, as well as from the show, you may have seen it, America's Funniest Home Videos, passed away yesterday. And I'd like to hear from you. What did you love about Bob Saget? He's made people laugh for years, and how did he perhaps make you laugh? Also, coming up, do you rely on other people to make you happy? Love to hear your thoughts on Instagram or give me a call. The number is 1-888-914-9149. Priscilla's calling from Riverside, New Jersey, and has a question for Sister Tina. Priscilla, welcome to Trending. What's your question?
My question is, okay, there has been a lot of passing in my life with my family, okay, since October. I pray, okay, constantly upset, you know, and I do, okay, but constantly I want to know what I can do more, you know, to not to get upset like I do, you know. I do pray, but it's been a lot of them, you know, so
I'm so sorry, Priscilla. You shared before you came on that you've had multiple family members die just since this October. Friends, family members. Very difficult. And my condolences to you and your family. Sister Tina, in the face of so many loved ones dying, what can be done to help cope in times such as these?
Certainly. Condolences, Priscilla, on the loss of your family members. And it is a great difficulty. Grief is unfortunately a part of this life. It's a part of this world. And then also to have multiple people that are close to you maybe pass away in such short time frame. Also, sometimes if people are passing away in very tragic ways or unexpectedly, maybe due to natural disasters or unfortunately violent acts, violent crime, that just compounds the issue. It compounds the grief and the loss. Please know that Jesus is with you. Jesus lost his friend Lazarus, and we can cry. It doesn't mean we lack faith or trust in God. We are human. God gave us these emotions. He knows our hearts. He sees us. He knows us intimately. And grief is something that comes and goes in waves. I liken it to the tide coming in, where it rises and then it recedes. And then maybe in another day or two, it might come back again. So this is an ongoing healing. And healing is not one and done. Healing takes time. That old saying, time heals all wounds. It's trite, but it's true. We never get over the death of someone close to us. We can only walk through it on a daily basis. And knowing that God is with us, that God is with us in our grieving, you know, we can certainly pray for the deceased. That gives a great comfort, a great solace to offer prayers, penances, mortifications, masses for those who have gone on before us is a great way for us to help in their souls after they have passed. And it also brings us closer to God in our prayer. You know, we talk about the communion of saints. This is what we are doing. We are all sharing in this grief and in this healing. We can help through our prayers, the souls who have passed on, but we also, through our prayer, we are connecting with God, the Holy Spirit, the Blessed Trinity, and God is helping us in our healing as well. And again, to go back to the serenity prayer, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Mm-hmm. I cannot change that my loved one is no longer here. So please help me just to slowly accept that, and it will happen. But grief is a process, not an event, and we never are done grieving. So be gentle with yourself. And I love scripture with this, that scripture tells us that God is tender with the bruised reed, and he will not quench the smoldering wick. God is gentle with us, and he sees us in our brokenness, in our grief. Go to him. Go to him.
Amen. Amen. Priscilla, know of our prayers for you during this time. I'm so sorry for your family members. It's something that so many people are experiencing, and with kind of the lack of closeness so many people have had over the last couple of years, sometimes it's a little harder if you didn't get to say goodbye or see them. I've seen that in my own life over the last couple of years as well. You know, that even, you know, kind of just going through that grieving process of not having said goodbye or not having seen someone more recently, and making peace with that, and trusting in God's mercy and God's justice. Such important things. You're listening to Trending with Tim Marie here on Relevant Radio. That's Sister Tina Alfieri. She's a recovery coach specializing in addiction. You can find her at bloomforcatholicwomen.com. She helps work with women who've faced betrayal within relationships, marriages, especially surrounding sexual addictions and pornography. Sister Tina, I want to touch on one more of those tips that you have for helping us be happier, and that has to do with reading sacred scripture on a daily basis. Can you share more?
Certainly. So sacred scripture is God's love letter to us. God communicates through the written word, his word, the living word. It's living and breathing, the Holy Spirit. And it's important that we know scripture and that we have at least a few scripture verses or parables, Bible stories, that we have kind of memorized that are important to us, that really speak to us, especially in those difficult times. I know that some of my favorite parables, I love the parable of the Good Samaritan. I love the parable of the Good Samaritan. When I'm able to help other people, I'm that Good Samaritan that's able to put someone on the horse or the donkey, bandage them up, and help get them to an inn where maybe they can be more taken care of. Sometimes I'm the person that's been left robbed, beaten up on the side of the road, and I'm asking for help. I'm calling for help. I need someone to come help me, help bandage me and support me. So I love using parables that speak to me. And I encourage everyone, have a parable or two for those difficult times that you can visualize yourself in the scene and it speaks to your heart. And you can meditate on this. You can mull it over in your mind and in your heart, and it brings you peace and comfort and solace.
This is a reminder as to why reading sacred scripture daily, you know, whether it be mm-hmm. from Proverbs to Psalms to the daily mm-hmm. gospel and mass readings. There are so many opportunities for us to truly understand God's plan for us. Even just today, the antiphon before communion was reminding us from John chapter 10, mm-hmm. verse 10, I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. This is so relevant mm-hmm. to our weekly happy hour, because if we Absolutely. Understand this in the midst of challenging moments, we go, oh yes, Lord has a plan for me. He wants me to live life to the fullest. We shouldn't embrace the sorrow and the despair that so many people in our culture are experiencing, because that's not what we're called to as Christians. Mm-hmm. Sister Tina, thank you so much for joining us today on Trending and for all the work you do, especially with women who are facing betrayal trauma. If you or someone you know has been through this, you can check out her work at bloomforcatholicwomen.com. That's Bloom, B-L-O-O-M, for catholicwomen.com. We'll include a link on social media. You may have heard the news. Did you hear the big news in women's college swimming? I'll talk about this tomorrow. The University of Pennsylvania, their swimmer, who is a man but identifies as a woman, actually beat a ton of other women in multiple races this weekend. However, the third race, he didn't quite win. Instead, another man identifying as a woman did. That's right. Three races, won by men competing against women. What happened to women's sports? Tomorrow we'll talk about this crisis on Trending. Coming up, I'd love to hear from you, especially during our weekly happy hour, in light of the passing of comedian, actor, the host of America's Funniest Home Videos and that beloved show Full House, Bob Saget, died this weekend. And I'd like to hear from you, why and what did you love about Bob Saget? How did he make you laugh? Also, do you wait for other people to make you happier? I'll be right back, but you can answer the questions now on Instagram or call me 1-888-914-9149 or follow me at Timmerie, T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E.
You can listen to more of Trending with Timmerie via the Relevant Radio app or at relevantradio.com/trending.
Today's programming is brought to you by Colby Academy. Offering a customized Catholic curriculum, Colby Academy knows the ultimate goal of education is to help our children be saints. More info at relevantradio.com/Colby.
So, what's trending? bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
What a shock. This weekend, we heard the news that actor-comedian Bob Saget died. He was found deceased in his hotel room in Florida after he was on a tour, and family members hadn't heard from him, finally contacted the hotel. The hotel sent someone up to his room after he didn't check out, and family contacted the hotel, and he was found deceased. As of right now, the evidence shows what was released, the report released, was that there seemed to be no drugs and no foul play as of right now, but they don't know what happened. So they're going to have to go through with an autopsy, and they're saying it's going to take about 10 to 12 weeks before we know what happened. I believe he was only like 63 or 65, very young still. Quite a shock to the family and the nation. And you may know him from everything from Full House to America's Funniest Home Videos. But I was really thinking about this, and I would love to hear from you. What did you love about Bob Saget? You know, he made the nation laugh from the sitcom Full House, a widowed dad raising three girls with his brother-in-law and his best friend, many moments for kicks and giggles. In fact, the show was so successful it was rebooted years later, although he would make occasional appearances. You know, this was a show that captivated the hearts and so many people, such as myself, who grew up on. But then there's also America's Funniest Home Videos, which he hosted that for most of the 90s. So I was really thinking about this, and I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can comment now live on my Instagram or give me a call. The number's 1-888-914-9149. What did you love about Bob Saget? How does it make you think about comedy or just laughing together? One of my thoughts was how I really do think that we don't laugh together enough as a society as we used to. It seemed to be that 15, 20 years ago, we could all sit down, watch America's Funniest Home Videos, and laugh at commonly shared experiences, silly family moments. Perhaps you even sent your own video into America's Funniest Home Videos. But today, we seem to have this niche humor. Humor that is very individualistic. Yes, we might find a funny YouTube video and send it to other people and really make them laugh as well as ourselves laugh. But often we're kind of delighting in humor by ourselves. Is this a good thing? Is it a bad thing? I'd love to hear your thoughts. It's something to ponder. You can comment on my Instagram story. I've put a question box up there, but it's something I'd like to unpack more by first hearing your thoughts. It's a topic maybe we'll take up later in the week. But what I do know is this. We need to laugh more as a society and together. And that is through sharing common experiences again. Not just reducing our laughter to a YouTube video that we watch in isolation, sending to someone else. Not that watching funny YouTube videos is wrong. But I think that America's Funniest Home Videos, what stood out about that show is usually people would come together as a family. I don't remember watching America's Funniest Home Videos all the time, but what I do remember is that on the rare occasion we watched it because it was something wholesome for the whole family. Everyone could sit together and watch it, and we could all laugh together at it. Perhaps this is a memory that you yourself share. I didn't know that America's Funniest Home Videos was still a show that was being made, and I'm curious if the videos today versus 20 years ago are still similar. If there are things that we can still all find in common, or if a lot of the videos are vetted out because we are easily offended as a society, we have less in common. Perhaps we might not find the videos as funny as they used to be because everything has to be censored. Just a couple thoughts on humor. I'd love to hear from you because I'd like to dive into this topic more later this week. Rest in peace, Bob Saget. Pray for his family members. Again, if you have a thought on humor and maybe how he's inspired laughter in your own home, I would love to hear from you. Again, you can contact me via social media, share your thoughts. I'd like to discuss this more later in the week. You're joining me during our weekly happy hour here on Trending, and I want to talk about a very important problem when it comes to our happiness, and that is that we have to stop waiting for other people to make us happy. For example, for another person, maybe you're lonely, maybe you want to meet people. For another person to introduce themselves or pursue a friendship. Maybe you want flowers from your spouse and you wish that he would buy you flowers. And you complain, wow, my spouse never buys me flowers. Well, you know, you could sit and be resentful or harbor certain attitudes. Maybe you're only in a good mood if other people are in a good mood. Maybe you're essentially establishing a form of codependency. They're constantly dependent on other people. Maybe you won't be happy until someone else changes a behavior, whether it's drinking, smoking, losing weight, being more present, going to church, converting to Catholicism. The reality is we talked about this earlier here on Trending with Sister Tina Alfieri, and I think it was such an important statement. I want to repeat it again. She said, happiness is an inside job. She said, happiness is from within. This is so important that we recognize that our happiness, we cannot determine based on other people all the time. I was thinking about this weekend. You know, it's been really hard living in the Midwest with the freezing weather. I think we hit a high of like 10, 12 degrees today. And then the intense humidity. It's not as outdoor friendly as it was in California. And so finding the balance of going outside and enduring the discomfort as well as staying warm or not dying of a heat stroke or humidity, whatever it might be, it can be a new challenge. And it's been a challenge for my family because I've always grown up outdoors all the time. I mean, I work remotely, but I work outside. That's what I did in California. And so a lot of this has been challenging. You feel additional cabin fever. You want to get out more. And I was thinking about how the only way I'm going to get out more, the only way I'm going to meet new people in a new area, all of these different things is if I pursue it. Yes, we can wait around for other people to introduce themselves. Yes, we can wait around for other people to have ideas. But if you want to do something, if you want to get out, if you want to meet someone new, all of these things, or maybe if you just want to be happy day to day, that other people's moods or perceived moods are impacting you, you have to at a certain point turn and look at yourself and say, I'm the only person who can change this. And stop waiting on everyone else to make you happy. It could be the simple things. Maybe you're not happy because you feel like your house is always clean, or you feel like you're always late for things. Maybe you're not happy because you always feel like you're rushing. Things can change by waking up earlier, telling yourself you have to be somewhere half an hour sooner than you actually have to be. Maybe you're upset because you're always eating out and you feel like you're getting fat off of all the fast food you've been eating. Well, cook more, make time, clean more. Introduce yourself to those people. Ask someone to do something. Start a hobby since you feel like you're stuck inside all the time. There are so many things that we can do to change the environment and experiences that we ourselves are experiencing. And I think this is really important for us to remember. As I think of this, it's so relevant when we turn to sacred scriptures as well. And I mentioned this earlier, that Jesus in John chapter 10 said, I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. It's a very important statement from Jesus Christ. I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. He doesn't say, I come that you may have life and mourn all the time. Although, yes, he does say, blessed are those who mourn, but getting into the context of what Jesus is saying, he's not saying people who are depressed and sad all the time, but blessed are those people who mourn the things that separate them or society from God. We're not supposed to be walking around sorrowful, but we're supposed to acknowledge and mourn that loss, that separation, and hope for, desire for more for ourselves and others. See, it's so important that we understand the scriptures, that we're reading them daily. That statement, I was reminded of it sitting at Mass this evening. I've come that you may have life and have it abundantly. It was the antiphon before communion. I even think of the Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3, where we read about how abundant living occurs when we're faithful to God. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, "Do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and abundant welfare they will give you." In other words, why do I bring this up when I talk about the issue of us waiting on other people to be happy? Well, the point is that if we live well, if we live in a state of grace, if we live united to God, we're going to be free. And freedom is a fundamental dimension of Christianity, that we're able to do all things in love, free to pursue things, to build, to create, to explore, to be who you are. But that requires that we follow the blueprint God has for us, and that we don't rely on others day in and day out to make us happy. And so when we're talking about these things during our weekly happy hour, it's so important that we ponder this. At the end of the day, we're the people who can make the change. But without God, it's impossible. Remember, happiness is an emotion. It's fleeting. It comes and goes. Just as sometimes there have been days in our lives where we've been giddy, hyper, sorrowful, angry, depressed, anxious. These two are emotions that are fleeting. Ultimately, we're working toward being rooted in God and the joy that He gives us. You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray here on Relevant Radio. I asked earlier, what did you love about actor-comedian Bob Saget, who passed away? We have John from Decatur, Illinois calling. John, what was it about Bob Saget that you loved?
Well, what I liked about it was he would take the everyday, action of a kid or falling off and turn into a moment of, hilariousness. And his comments were always off the chart, they were sarcastic, but yet they were full of, good, honest humor, with a lot of cussing or, stuff that just made you crack up, and I'm 61, so he was 65, so he kind of, permeated that joy and that laughter that, you're right, your mom and dad, you could sit down with anybody and, just laugh and laugh and laugh for the whole hour.
Yeah. It was a wholesome laughter. I love that you emphasize that. You could sit with your mom, you sit with your dad, anyone. So often when humor is shared today, it's usually shared privately with one person. There's nothing wrong with sharing a joke between people, but often it's one of those things, don't show this to someone else. There's a group of people who would be horrifically offended. In one respect, I think that's part of the problem with humor today, is that someone's always offended, so no one can ever share something that's funny. But on the other end, we're also laughing at things we probably shouldn't. I was actually curious about this because I've not followed any of Bob Saget's comedian career post Full House or even America's Funniest Home Videos. And I was wondering if his humor is clean. He's been a family comedian in a lot of the content that's been produced. So I was curious because he was on a comedy tour, or at least had just done a comedy show the night before his passing. So if you have a thought, what did you love about Bob Saget, the comedy that he helped in producing? Love to hear from you. The number is 1-888-914-9149. Some people commented on social media, he almost became like a comfort food for many people. And I think that that's something to think about, that there was something comforting about the comedy that was so wholesome, that was safe, that often surrounded funny family or just basic common experiences that we can all share. It's such an important thing that we're able to share common experiences. Don't get me wrong, there are great things that we can laugh at via video online, but so much of our entertainment has become so individualistic that we consume the entertainment alone, that it becomes niche entertainment. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Have you ever thought about how laughter and comedy has changed for so many of us? I'm not just talking about the fact that so much of it has become outright inappropriate, but it's the fact that we don't share in it together as a community. And great question. I actually can't remember. I was wondering the same thing. Question on Instagram just came in. Was Bob Saget a pedophile? I don't know the story behind that. I hadn't heard that before. That is a good question. I think so many people in Hollywood have been kind of brought under scrutiny, legitimately, sometimes accusations made. I don't know. I did not dig into that before doing the show. The question was, was he a pedophile? I don't know that. Producer was just asking. That's not something I know about him. I'm just talking, kind of setting that aside because I don't know. We're talking about him from the perspective of America's Funniest Home Videos and the show that he did for so many years, Full House, that has brought so many people through laughter. And I find it interesting to think about the show Full House, which has been rebooted over the last 5 years or so. Why did that resonate so well with people? It was another one of those groundbreaking shows right there in the early 90s where we heard the story of a single parent. But we didn't just hear the story of a single parent. We heard the story of other people leaning in as a community. It became endearing. It became family friendly and family oriented. Funny and uncommon and common experiences that essentially these three dads, though not confused with their gender, confused about whether or not they like women or men, but three men who lean in. A widowed father, a best friend, and an uncle. And these are things that we can share, this familial experience. And this is what I loved about much of Bob Saget's work, from America's Funniest Home Videos to Full House. May his soul rest in peace. I pray for his family, especially as we wait to hear the results of what really happened with regard to his death. But I hope you'll join me tomorrow here on Trending, because we're going to unpack news surrounding women's sports, especially women's swimming, and a little bit of the transgender crisis. Also, we're going to discuss the impact that tests in utero have had on women choosing to have their baby or not have their baby. So join me tomorrow, but I hope you'll share this weekly happy hour with someone you know and love. Could more babies be saved by foregoing a lot of the testing that occurs when a woman's pregnant that scares her and falsely gives her results, thinking that something's wrong with the baby? This is Tim Ray from Trending with Tim Ray. Tuesday we'll discuss that, as well as the big news from women's college swimming. Did you hear that two men who identify as women have beat in multiple races women from taking championships they should have otherwise had? Join me daily at 6 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio or the Relevant Radio app.